Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Amen.
You definitely want to make sure that you're just double checking, because in times of need, and you're sending out your precious resources in order to support other people, you want to make sure that it's getting to the right places and getting into the hands of those who are in desperation or in desperate need of whatever it is that you're sending out there. Amen.
Amen.
But,
amen.
Let's go ahead and dive right into tonight's show. I am so thankful that we are taking the time to do this show this evening because, you know, Coach D, you and I have been talking about different family members and loved ones and friends that have been caught up with the Hurricane Harvey, and some of the discussions that we've had about those family members have just been devastating news. Some of it has been uplifting news, and I'm sure that everybody has been touched by some way, shape, or fashion by this storm. So, you know, taking a small portion of our show, meaning, you know, this evening, to dedicate to the situation is a blessing for me and to me because I do have family members who are in Texas and have, you know, been touched by this disaster. Amen.
Amen. Me too. Me too. So this, you know, any disaster is always a tragedy. So I want to say that first and foremost. But one of the things I would say as well that, you know, you could look at on the TV and you could look at things that's going on and it really doesn't, you know, you could see how sad it is, but it really hits home when you have family members that's in the midst of it and you're way on one side of the U.S. and they're on another side and you're trying to find out and check on them and make sure everything's okay. And, you know, so that could be very stressful. What I wanted to do, Minister LaDonna, I wanted to, let's talk about some things. We're going to talk about all kinds of things tonight. Again, we're not claiming to be experts. Ironically, I am traveling. And so I am traveling and I am in D.C., and I am attending a global disaster relief and development summit that I'll be here for 2 days. And I am with organizations such as FEMA, USAID, United Nations, all these different organizations that actually reach out on a local and on a global, but more so global in this sense. When disaster hits, you know, when you think about the earthquakes that hit Haiti and the tsunami that hit Indonesia and all these different things, these are the organizations that step up to help bring relief and development to those disasters. So I'm here in that this week, and I think it's a perfect time considering everything that's going on to see what more we can learn to be more prepared. So with that being said, I want to bring up something, and I don't know, Mr. LaDonna, maybe you could talk more deeply on it because I don't have a lot of conversation about it, but Red Cross, we're hearing a lot of Red Cross is getting a lot of negative publicity, and of course, like I said again, I don't want to bring negativity, but I want people to understand so that what they're hearing. I wouldn't say that Red Cross is a bad organization. Actually, Red Cross is probably one of the oldest organizations that's around that steps up in the time of disaster. But what we're finding out more recently is that Red Cross only give back a certain percentage of the funds that they receive from donations for these disasters. What's your thoughts with that?
Well, the first thing that I would say definitely is that any organization is only as good as the people who are running the organization. And so you always, 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 like we said earlier when we first opened the show, do your research, no matter what organization it is, because as times change and people change, the guards change, so to speak, meaning there's different people who are running the organization than when it first started off. You'll always have some people who are in place that are doing great things and some people who are in place that are doing not so great things. So you definitely want to know where your money is going or where your support is going, how it's being used. And so please, please, please do your research. Like you said, Coach D, Red Cross has been out there for years. It's one of the first organizations that, one of the very first organizations that was set up in order to support disastrous times or natural disasters and be in place when people needed aid. How long ago was that set up? And how close have people kept to the mission statement or the values or the vision statement of the organization? And it's up to us as, this new generation to make sure that these organizations that are in place are still doing the job that they were designed and set out to do when they first opened their doors. And so we'll have to, it's almost like we have to be a policeman. We have to police the organizations in order to make sure that when we are in need, we can turn around and find healthy, strong organizations that are able to support the need that we have.
Amen. Amen. One of the things I wanted to just share with any organization, like you said, when you do your research, one of the things you might want to know is because guess what? These organizations got to run. They have payroll. They have overhead. So they got to run. So don't think for one minute that some of your donations won't go towards those things, because it does. And there's nothing wrong with that, because they have to run and they have to stay, cover overhead and stuff. But what you want to find out is how much of the donation dollar is being spent towards the cause and not the effect, if that makes any sense. Meaning, how much are they, you might want to look, because a lot of them will do a chart and they'll say, well, we're spending 70% towards back into the, we're putting 70% back into the community. We're doing, maybe 10% towards this and 5% towards that. Those are the things you want to know, because that's going to maybe play a big part on where you want to sow your money to get it out to the people. One of the things I always recommend, and I'll stand behind this recommendation, is, I hear people talk bad about that as well, but I would say the local churches, because the local churches are a part of the community. They're the fiber in the community. And so those local churches are normally doing food drives, doing clothes giveaway, food giveaways throughout the year, and they're bonding with the community around them. So it would be natural to think that if a disaster has hit and it's affected a community, various communities, then the churches in those communities should probably have systems in the place to help. And, in this case, I'm sure a lot of the churches actually were deeply affected too. They may have had a great loss and have to rebuild as well because of the damage. Amen?
Amen. When you just brought out churches, it reminded me, and I'm not on one side or the other, I'm just out here throwing out some actual facts, but it reminded me of this whole discussion around Joel Osteen's church. And some of the facts that I want to throw out is that usually when there's natural disasters that are set in place, when you have these bigger churches, they're designed to go and flow or to coincide with state and city plans that are set in place. It reminded me of Al Hattie's, the private Christian resort up in Idlewild that Al and Hattie Hollingsworth own. But that particular resort is designed to be an emergency place for fire officials and different things like that. So people might be upset that they might feel like, oh, Al Hattie should be doing such and such, or Al Hattie should be doing this, or Al Hattie should be doing that in times of a disaster. But already a plan that's set in place and set in motion that's such and such happen, should A and B happen, then C will take place. And if C happens, then D and E will take place. But if A and B doesn't happen, then C is set to be prepared for A and B to happen. And so I'm bringing that all out because, again, sometimes our churches will take hits. Our churches will be under fire because as humans, we think that they should respond a certain way and respond according to how we feel or how we think, but we may not know what's the underlying plan or what plans have already been preset in motion and our fixed plans in order to be able to support in a necessary way, because sometimes there has to be a certain flow of things in order to be of real or full support. If everybody jumps in at one time, then sometimes you can have a breakdown in your systems instead of being able to go from A to B to C and be able to sustain.
Right. No, that definitely makes sense. You know, a couple of things, you know, that people didn't consider and they wouldn't consider. If you're not a business owner, if you never ran a business, if you've never been an operations manager or in management, then guess what? You're not going to know that there's some protocol. You can't just jump up and do things, you know. Okay, you're a church. You have insurance that covers your church and the people that come into your church during certain hours, for example. People don't understand that. They don't understand that businesses have liability insurance, and it may be, we don't know the details. It could be during certain hours. You know, somebody could open up their church, bringing people in, and we do it, don't think. You don't think, but then you have to talk to a pastor that opened up his church and brought people in a situation, and somebody gets raped or molested or somebody gets hurt. That's a whole nother lawsuit that you don't even hear nothing about. I can't even imagine, is it the George Brown Convention Center in New Orleans? When Katrina hit, what the outside world didn't know, you might have heard bits and pieces, but what you didn't know is that people were in there dying inside the convention center. People were getting raped. There was a lot of people were getting robbed and beat up. There was a lot of things that was going on in that convention center. Now, we don't know all the details, but I guarantee you the owners of that George Brown Convention Center has probably been, they probably still going through court cases and liability suits and lawsuits right now that we don't know nothing about, but that they're taking a hit for family members that may have filed a suit, you know. I had my such and such there, and she got raped while she was there. We're filing a suit against the city. We're filing a suit against the individual owners of that, you know, of that convention center. So, people, they don't see that. All they see is we need help in that person, and what appears that they're not helping. And you got to just know that there's some protocol. Even if he would have brought Aaron, and we're talking, as you know, we're talking about the Joel Osteen thing. Even if he would have opened up his door and immediately brought people in, what was he going to do? Because that many people, do you have blankets? Do you have mattresses? Do you have pallets? Do you have food? What can you do? Open up your door and what? Then what? If you don't have systems in the place, that would be another natural disaster. Amen.
Amen. And that is why systems are put in place, and that's why they do pull on different churches or pull on different organizations to have them become part of their systems and, again, go from A to B to C to D. And most of us, when there's a natural disaster, the first thing that would go out of my brain is, you know, forget a system. I need some help. I need some support. But even when you're flying on a plane, before that plane takes off, they tell you if you are flying with somebody, before you try to help them, you better make sure that you have the oxygen mask on yourself, They tell you don't even sit at the exit or emergency doors if you're not capable of supporting the system that is in place in order to allow everybody to be able to exit through the doors. You have to be of a certain age. You have to be able to push a certain amount of weight. You have to be able to, you know, lift a certain amount of weight, not necessarily just push a certain amount of weight. And they tell you, if you're not capable of these things, then move now. And we'll get you another seat so that we can put someone else in place who is capable. And so whenever you're trying to be of support, you always have, you have to be capable. Joel Osteen's church was not capable of certain or specific types of support. I'm just saying that we have to recognize that we can't control how anybody else moves, and we don't know what is the underlying matter or the underlying reasons why people move or do not move. And let's take that into consideration before we start badgering or beating up on folk, especially folk that are usually readily available with support and help in different ways. Amen?
Amen. I think people, it's a natural human thing to complain and murmur. I think it's just a natural, it's a part of the flesh. Because I'm thinking, had he opened up to let people in but couldn't feed them, couldn't give them, you know, dry clothes, then he would have been on the news about how you going to open up your church and can't feed people. You know, how you going to open up your church
yeah.
and can't give them dry clothes. So I think he would have been damned if he did and damned if he didn't, you know, so the saying says. I'm just not sure that we're ever satisfied with, you know, with what the, you know, what, because everybody's opinions are going to always be different. You know, everybody's not going to do things the same way. So if I don't do things like you do things, then I'm going to, of course, think my way is right, you know, and your way is not right or not efficient. So, you know, it's, I just think that it's going to always be something, you know, and you just have to kind of have tough skin and get used to that. Amen.
You know, and definitely between where the support systems lie is going to be a key in future disasters as well. I took a trip with my girls this past summer, and we went out to the caverns. And this was in Arizona. And when we went there, they were letting us know that this particular area that we went to was one of the natural disaster bombs, a nuclear bomb and different things like that because it's so far underground. And I wondered how many people actually know that this place is listed as a fallout shelter. And although we don't think about disasters all of the time, how many of us actually know where to go to, where to turn to in the case of a natural disaster? How many of us are really, really prepared? I don't think you can ever be prepared enough for a disaster, so there's always going to be something that you may have needed to do an extra step or more supplies that may have been necessary, but how many of us have even the first steps in place, like your job and some of the things that you have to do is you, we talk about is having the necessary systems in place. Like how many people even think about having a communication system or a communication plan in case your cell phones break down? Like if your cell phone broke down because of or was not broke down but wasn't able to be used, how would you communicate with your son? Especially, you know, Coach D, you're on travel. I'm not sure if your son your sons are with you or if your sons are still in California. But if something were to happen, do you have a plan in place to communicate with your children? You know, I have a daughter who's in Florida right now. Actually, two daughters who are not at home, but you know, my thing is, if our cell phones are not able to be used, how do we then communicate with each other to say that we're okay? And most people don't even the cell phone.
Right. Right. You were saying that, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't even have, you know, I don't even have a plan in place that if for some reason the cell phone is not working. And generally, if there's a disaster, depending on what kind of disaster, the house phone is the first to go. You know, so
yeah.
That's a good thing. Do we have a meeting place? You know, when you think about your adult children, if something were to happen, do we have a place that we're going to meet? You know, do we give each other a timeline that, okay, if this happened within 24 hours, we need to all gather here. You know, that way you kind of know if some, you know, if everybody's okay. Those are some good things to sit down and think about, because we don't think about it. Do you have enough water? We always wait for a storm. But the thing about it is that, you know, the kids have a saying, if you stay ready, you'll have to get ready. Do you have enough water? Do you have enough canned goods? Do you have enough supplies? If the electricity go out, do you have a flashlight that works? Do you have a supply of batteries? You know, these are things you need to go down and do a checklist, because we can't wait till a disaster happens to begin to think about these things. These are things that you need to think about. And we're saying this because both myself and Minister Ladon I still work for the company, but Minister Ladon worked for the company too, where we actually manufactured emergency quick kits. And those kits, we have kits for babies that just provide basic necessities, diapers, formula, bottle, a pacifier, a little trinket toy, because kids, babies, toddlers get real agitated. So a little trinket toy keeps them busy for hours on end. You know, things like that. We have kits specifically for women that had, you know, disposable panties, sanitary napkins, you know, hygiene type of thing. Because one of the things we realized during Katrina is that everybody needs to be able to keep their dignity. That's everybody deserves that. Amen.
Amen. And most of the time we don't think about things like that, or when we see people in disasters, you know, and that's a big thing. A lot of times when we look at people who are in need or in need of support or in need of help, based upon how they look sometimes is how we respond with how we help them sometimes. And that's not a lie. That's exact God-honest truth, because sometimes if people look dirty or look nasty, they could just be hungry. And we don't want to get too close to them. We don't want to, ooh, they stink. I don't want to touch them. Or, ugh, no, get them away from me. But we don't know what they've been through. We don't know how they got to that position. All we know is that there's a need that needs to be met. And are we capable and able of responding to that need that has a desire to be met? And so I'm saying that because, yeah, we don't think about sometimes that you have to comb, you want to at least be able to comb your hair, or you at least want to be able to brush your teeth, or you at least want to be able to change your underwear or take a wipe and wipe yourself, something. And people might be laughing, people might think it's funny, but it definitely is not funny when you're faced with those situations. You know, having worked for a company that put into place kits and resources designed to fit people's needs, it really made me take a step back to look at what do I really have in place and what do I really think that I need to have in place should a disaster or emergency happen. You know, people will say, oh, I have matches, but are your matches waterproof? Do you have your matches or your batteries inside of, baggies or some type of waterproof lining so that should something happen, they're still available for use? Do you have, like, fireproof we have like fireproof. It was like some type of coating or coat that was fireproof that was in these kits as well. But different things like that that you have to think about, because again, when you're faced with these, with a disaster, you don't know what different type of elements will come at you. You just know that you have to get everything that you can quickly, and you have to move it, and it has to be readily available to be moved. We don't even think, like most of us don't carry cash these days. So a lot of us just carry our cards. We don't carry cash. You need to have some cash on you, and you need to have an available credit limit or credit line or credit availability of up to $2,000 a disaster should strike. Because are you going to have to go to a shelter? Are you going to have to go and stay with friends and family? Are you going to have to go into a hotel room? Are you guys going to have to split up? What's going to happen should a disaster strike? Do you even have $2,000 readily available to take care of you and your family if a disaster should strike and you have to evacuate? And a lot of us, the answer would be, no, we don't have $2,000, not even credit-wise. So we have to start looking at a lot of stuff, because most of the time when a disaster hits, we start looking at somebody else to be able to come in and support us, or somebody else come in and take care of us, or somebody else come in and help us out. But as you can see, and I'm not knocking any of the resources that are out there. I'm definitely not knocking any of the resources. I'm thankful to God that they're in place. But I want us to always recognize and always remember, put systems in place where you can help yourself so that you don't have to, if you have to depend on somebody and the dependability is there, great. But if you had to depend on somebody and it wasn't there, at least you're taken care of. You know, if put your systems in place. If you don't have $2,000, put away what you can so that you know at least I have $500 to get us started. This $500 to get us somewhere. You know, I heard that they were selling water in Texas for like, what, $50 for a case or something like that. Not that you would want to spend $50 for a case of water, but if you had $500 to take you beyond where they're trying to charge you $50 for a case of water, you don't have to worry about trying to get that $50 case of water. Does that make sense?
Definitely, that makes sense. You know, being prepared. I think that what a lot of times people, we see we look from afar and we see the devastation, and we go through the whole empathy and sympathy and compassion for our fellow humans that's going through. But the reality of it is that you better be looking at their disaster. You better be taking notes, and you better be learning from their experiences of things that you could do or systems you could put into place that will help you in a situation. Because one of the things I'm learning, and I know everything's a little bit different, you got different natural disasters, you know, but loss is loss. And there's just certain basic things that you could do that will help you through any disaster. Like knowing where you're, you know, if you had to leave your house quickly, and we've had to evacuate both up at Idlewild as well as in Diamond Bar because of fires. That's the big thing here in California. A lot of, you know, you guys think we live in earthquake territory, but earthquakes kind of, you know, get tremors all the time. Nothing that's so damaging. Not saying that it can happen, because we have had those, but they're far and few in between. But we get a lot of fires every year. At a certain time of the year, we deal with fires, and we just had a fire where people lost their homes. Now, they've given them a chance, because normally when a fire happens, they're telling them, you know, this is where it's at. But when it gets here, you need to evacuate. You can't stay here. We can't guarantee that you're not in the pathway. Fire does its own thing. But what are the things you would grab? What would be the first things you grab? Most of us, believe it or not, the things we think about grabbing be things that be irrelevant to our survival. You know, if you have documents, important documents like passports, maybe CDs, whatever, documents, you know, you should keep them like Mr. LaDon was saying. First of all, keep them in a plastic bag because a plastic bag could go through a flood. But if you have, take the time. You may, you know, say, well, I don't have money for that. Yeah, you need to put on your list, I need a safe that's fireproof. Because if everything else around it burns down and to the ground, you could come back to your safe and still be there safe with, you know, things that you can never get back. You know, pictures, memories. You know, you might have family pictures from when your kids were babies or maybe when you got married, pictures that, you know, pictures of your parents who are no longer here. Those are things that are so, sentimental value. They're so valuable, and you can't replace them. You can't replace those memories. And so those are things you want to start thinking about now. What can I do? Let me get a safe, or maybe I should keep it in a safe deposit box, or, you know, something. Just start putting systems into place. Keep, you know, that so that you know that you could try. And I'm not saying anything's 100% because you could put it in a safety deposit box and that bank could burn down or, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying try to put systems into place that could help you through any given situation. And I know nobody likes to think about that kind of stuff, but we've seen enough of it. It ain't even guaranteed. California has never really experienced a hurricane and not a serious tornado. But guess what? Times are changing. We're going through global warming. We're going to see a lot of weather. We're seeing weather now we don't understand. Amen?
Amen. And then the earthquakes that we've experienced, Northridge, you know, we've had some pretty devastating earthquakes as well. But, you know, even with that being said, when they start talking about evacuating, making sure that you have reliable transportation. Because a lot of times we have cars that, you know, maybe we piece together or we know will get us around town, but should a disaster happen, we have to think about transportation, being able to evacuate ahead of time and how far we're able to evacuate. So, again, start thinking about the systems that we need to have in place in order to make sure that we're safe and our family is safe. Many of us have pets. Do you have a system in place to evacuate your pets? You know, I was seeing that some people were like, you better leave your pets behind. Most people who have pets, they don't think about their pets as an animal. Those pets have become part of their family. And so some people can get upset about it or rag on people about it if they want to. However, again, most people who have pets, those pets are a part of their family. And so you want to make sure that you have a way of evacuating your entire family, inclusive of your pets. Amen? And definitely, you know, we've talked about having systems in place. We've talked about having an evacuation plan. We've talked about having a communication plan. And if you don't have a communication plan, please get right on a communication plan, even to the point of you have family and friends that are in another state. Do you have someone who's set up that everybody would be a point of contact for everyone? So if you have someone who lives in Utah and someone who lives in Arkansas, someone who lives in Texas, someone who lives in California, someone who lives in Colorado, who is the person who's set in place that, okay, we're going to all contact this person to make sure that at least this person knows that everybody is okay so that when everyone starts calling around, they know. As long as we call the person who's in Colorado, they're going to know about everybody else. So make sure you have a communication system in place. And again, if cell phones are out, maybe computers are still in, and so you have a communication system that includes emailing someone, a radio communication plan, whatever the case may be, make sure that you start thinking about how are we going to communicate with each other if our cell phones are out, and how do we communicate with each other if our cell phones are in. A lot of teenagers might start trying to call their boyfriends or girlfriends instead of calling family first. You know, you may want to put in place, hey, make sure you call mom and dad first, and then you start calling everybody else. You know, start putting some priorities together even for the younger people who are in your household so that the system that you have in place is easily, it's easy to follow and it's easy to stick to. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yeah, definitely. You know, you often hear, you know, the saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And these are some good tips. You know, I have never been, I mean, I've been in, of course, I was around during the Northridge earthquake that, you know, shook, broke some things, but nothing that was ever so devastating. Thank God. Woo! Thank God. I don't wish that on anyone, but still, just being able to be proactive and get systems into place is so important. Really, really important. You know, there's just, I'm going to try to post on our website some bullet points or some 1, 2, 3 things that we discussed on tonight, what people should do, what's some first step action. If you're listening in on tonight and you have some things that maybe you've actually heard or you've tried for yourself, please let us know, because we would love to add that to the list of preparedness, being prepared and making sure that you're prepared. So we would love that. We do have, Mr. LeDon, we do have Concrete Rose Foundation is on the line, and I know that she is, one of her things for her foundation is just being a help in a present, you know, a help in the present time, meaning it doesn't matter what's going on or where it's going on. One of the things for her foundation is that she makes an attempt within her sphere of influence to have people donate to those causes so that she could send the money out. She's a strong believer that, you know, if she's getting the donation, she'll make sure it gets to a person that where people that are affected will really see the money and it's not being spent. So I'm just going to bring her in so she could just kind of briefly speak about what she's doing and if people are interested in giving to what she's doing, then definitely that's you know, that is a tool and a resource.
Amen.
Tony, are you in the studio?
I am.
Amen. Good evening to you, my sister. So tell us what Concrete Rose is doing and how can people get involved as far as, I know that you've collected not just for this, but I've seen you collect for different, you know, different things that's been devastating, natural disasters, but I've seen you also try to collect for just families that are hungry and homeless. So tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, well, right now we're trying to raise money to give to the victims to make sure that the money goes directly to the victims. I wanted to allocate that money. That's why I wanted to go out to Houston, because I really wanted to get involved and just, like, vibe with the people and really see, you know, what's going on and, you know, this whole water situation. I know that a lot of people were, like, going up on the prices with the water and things like that. And so I just wanted to go out there to make sure that I can, no matter how many people it is, that I can make sure that they're getting something that they need, whether it be water, whether it be toiletries, food, you know, whatever we could do. And so my goal was to raise $10,000, and donations have been coming in. I had a guy the other day, I'm out working, and he's like, hey, Tony Robinson, and he's been following me on Facebook, and he said, I see what you're doing. You're raising money for Houston. He said, I want to write a check. And I said, okay, and I'm about to give him the address to where he could send it. He said, how about I write that check right now? And I'm like, oh, okay, well, and that's exactly what he did. So he gave money to, you know, the, what we're doing, going towards the hurricane victims. And I'm just trying to raise more money just so it can go straight to the victims. So I'm hoping that a lot of people give to our organization, because we are an organization ran with integrity, and we want to make sure that the money goes exactly to where it's going. So I know a lot of people want to give, and sometimes they don't know exactly where to give, but sometimes you also want to know that your money is going where it's, you know, actually being for the victims. So
amen.
That's what we're doing.
That's so true, and I'm thankful. I have watched heard about the different drives and fundraising and things that you've done. I think the last one I heard about, you were, like Coach D said, feeding the homeless. You had blankets and just all kinds of stuff that you guys were giving to the homeless.
Yeah,
so,
that we do right here in our own hometown, yeah.
Which is amazing and awesome, because, of course, Tony started her organization from the bottom up, and like she said, it's ran with integrity. So those of you who are looking for a place that to put your money, to put your support, that you know when you put your money there, it's going to go to those people who are in need. This is definitely a place where you can do that. And because she's local, you have, you know, you can see her, you can see her organization. She's, you know, it's like almost that you can touch, you know, you can touch her.
Yes.
And realize that she's touching everybody else. So you don't have to second guess what's going on with this particular organization. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One of the things I want to say, you know, Tony, we're just going to keep your mic open right now, so if you feel free to intervene. However, one of the things that I came across when I was, you know, we was preparing for this show tonight, with little information, you know, I'm going by information, of course, like many that I'm seeing on CNN, and then I have family members there. I have a brother. I have a lot of cousins and families and aunts and people that's there, and I'm listening to them. And one of the things I want to encourage people as they try to heal, you have to make sure that you're getting your information from reliable sources. I've seen some videos that came out, and I can't say that that's not their truth, but I mean, I've seen videos and that came out that I just felt like there was some underlying hatred anyway. You know, videos about black people not being helped, rescue people are passing them up and calling them, you know, using slurs at them, racist slurs and different things. And I'm not saying that that's not their truth and they didn't experience that. I don't know. But we have to be careful, because I spoke to quite a bit of family members because, of course, I want to know, hey, what's going on? And from what I'm hearing from most people, as a whole, is that Houston has pulled together. It is not based on race, but people are human, and people have come together, and you got everybody helping everybody to get through this. And most people have not experienced themselves any type of things that they would tag as being forsaken or racist in any way. So I just want to share that we got to be careful with the news we're getting. Social media is the worst to get your information from. If you want a more reliable source, go to CNN. They're there. They're boots on the ground. They're filming. They're taking pictures of what's going on. And it's probably going to be, you know, we have enough negativity with the events that's taking place, but at least we don't have to have another negativity with people's own personal agenda or how they feel about society and what society is and is not doing. Really quickly, I wanted to name a couple of, you know, of course we have Concrete Rose on there, and I'm going to add Concrete Rose to this list, but I want to name a couple of other charities that are there to help. Does it help you avoid scams? No, you know, do some research, find out. But one of the things is AmeriCare. AmeriCare is a good NGO. Direct Relief is another good one. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston is a good place. Convoy of Hope is another good one. Save the Children is another one. These are organizations that's been known to go out and, you know, they go out and help during disasters and bring bedding and clothing and food and provide shelter. So you know, these are just things you just want to do. Ask the questions. Do the research when you're considering giving to organizations that's doing it. Know the heart of the organization and. You know, I think, Tony, you might have came on after, but one of the things we shared is that, you know, organizations have overhead. They do. They have overhead. They have to pay these things. But what you want to do is find an organization that is balanced, meaning if the organization is spending 70% towards the organization and 30% towards the disaster, that may be an organization you might not want to donate to. You know, but if an organization is taking 30% to cover, you know, to cover or 25% to cover overhead and different expenses that it takes of it, you know, and then using the rest of it towards a situation, then that could be a great organization. Amen.
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 Definitely, we want. Tony to be able to give out her information so that especially those of you who are, you know, looking to have your support go to ground zero and know that it's going to ground zero, you can connect with Tony. Some of you may even be planning on going out there yourself and may be able to offer support that way. I don't want to say how you can and cannot support Concrete Rose, but throwing ideas out there. And then as well, before we leave and before Tony gives her information out, I do want to mention, because we never talk about this, Denise, I don't think we've ever had a show where we've talked about the Aldolano solar cold box that is able to provide clean water and store food and different things like that. You know, if organizations that are out there that have the money or people that want to come together to maybe possibly purchase a cold box to send to different places, that is a possibility as well. So those are two resources that I would definitely want to make sure, you know, we our listening audience gets those the information for before we close out our show. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, so, Tony, if you want to go ahead and share, we are coming towards the end of our show, but if you want to go ahead and share where people can donate,
okay.
Contact you through your email or your website, just whatever
Absolutely.
Information you feel that people need. Okay.
Okay, well, we have two ways you could donate. One is to go to www.concreterosefoundation.org. You can donate there. Press the donate button, and in the message column, put Houston Harvey so we can know exactly where that donation, what that donation is for. And the second way, you can mail a check or money order to Concrete Rose Foundation, 10507 South Normandy Avenue, Suite 516, Gardena, California, 90248. So you have those two ways that you can donate. And we just hope that you guys make a great decision. For those that don't have family members that you already have, like, helped and given to, but you just want to help the people because your heart is there with the people, then donate with an organization like the Concrete Road Foundation that's going to get those funds to where they need to go. So thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for the work that you're out there doing, boots on the ground, so to say. So thank you so much for joining. One of the things I would like to do, Minister LaDon, before we end our show, because we are at the 8 hour, and but I would like to maybe have a prayer for the people in Houston, you know, praying for their recovery and their healing. But also I want to pray as well for this storm that is supposed to be coming in, Irma. And now I don't know if it hit. I don't know if this hit the land yet, but they're expecting that this weekend to come, you know, somewhere around Thursday or so, to hit Florida, to start with Florida, and then kind of work its way up the East Coast. And you know, unfortunately, no matter how many of these shows we do and how many things that people put on the news to help people be prepared, you're always gonna have the sleepers. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Noah syndrome. Noah had been telling people, and they thought Noah was just a town drunk, and he was crazy. But he was telling people, trying to get people prepared, get them ready. This rain was going to come, but they never heard of rain. They didn't understand. And as a result, they all died, you know. And so hopefully people are awakened, you know, that they're awakened, that they could see, and that they'll take learn from what's going on, and then take the necessary precautions to make sure that they don't have to suffer the same plight as some people that suffered in Katrina or Harvey or any of these other natural disasters that's just really taking a toll on people. So I don't know if either one of you ladies want to say, you know, start a prayer for Harvey and Irma.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
Great, great. So I don't know, Tony, if you want to lead it, or Minister LaDon, if you want to lead.
Coach D, I'm giving you the floor.
Okay, well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, and we just come before your throne. Father, your word says that when two or more come together, that you are there in the midst, Father. So, Father God, we're coming together with a prayer of agreement, Lord. We pray for each and every person in Houston, in Texas, not just Houston, but every area that's gotten hit, that's affected by Harvey, Father God. We just pray for complete recovery, Father, that you would just open up doors of opportunities, and, Father, that you would provide resources and tools that people could use to get back on their feet, Father, that not one person go homeless or hungry behind us, Father God, but that the community will pull together as one and begin to take care of each other according to one of your second greatest commands, and that's love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and the first being that we love you with all of us, mind, body, and spirit. So, Father God, I just pray that a spirit of love would go forth, Lord, and that we could fulfill that command of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, Father. Yes. Father God, I just also pray, Father, that in this time, in this hour, because people want to pray and people want to ask for prayer when they're going through. But, Father God, more importantly, I pray that an anointing will just fall down over the affected areas, that your presence will be so heavy, Father, that people will want to know how do they give their lives to Jesus, that people will want to know how can they receive eternal life, that people will want to know you, Father God, not just seeking prayer, not just asking others to pray for them, but, Father God, that they will want to know you so that they can go directly to your throne of grace, Father, and ask what they will so that it will be given to them, Lord. So we pray that this will be a ministry tool, and we pray that there will be mature Christian laborers available to minister to these people, Father God, not turn them away, not turn the lip up at them, Father, but, Father God, be able to minister the spirit of love that they could see Jesus through these people, Father God, that you have prepared for them. We pray right now for Irma, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that it will stay out in the abyss of the ocean, Father God, that nothing will be hit by it. And those that have already been hit by it, Father God, that they will be to a speedy recovery, and that is not as bad as it seems.
Father. We just pray that it does not hit land, Father God, and if it hits land, that it'll be minimal damage, Lord, but most importantly, that people will be prepared for this one so that they don't have to receive some of the damages that we've seen last week, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you right now for my sisters, and Father God, I just pray that people will just continue to have a heart for people in trouble, have a heart for people that's going
yes.
through. We pray for the people who lost their homes in the fire this weekend and Tuhunga. We pray for those people that lost their homes, Father God. And again, we pray that in every adverse situation, Father God, that you will get the glory, that people will realize that there's an equal or greater reward. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, LaDon, you want to just close us out on this evening?
Well, before we close out, please let them know the website for the album.
Okay. Let's see here. I want to be able to give you some names. What I would like to do, I would like to be able to. For those listening in, if you go to our Facebook page, Woman to Woman, we're going to list some agencies and give you their website so that you could go onto their website and reach out to these agencies that provides for disaster relief services. There's, you know, a lot going on with FEMA. FEMA's helping a lot of individuals, and I heard today, matter of fact, we might have to do something again next week, Minister LaDon, because I do have a gentleman that is there in Houston. He works for NRG, which is the stadium, and they actually are bringing people. They have brought people in there, and they're giving them shelter and food and clothing, and every day he is posting on his Facebook page which organizations are there, and he's telling people, hey, the housing authority is down here giving out houses, but he's also telling people, because what people want to do is come up there just to get the services and then leave, and he's telling people that the people that they're going to give to the most desperate people first. So those people that stand up there, you know, that's basically living up there right now are the people that's going to get help first. So if people just going up there to get the services, they might be less likely to get the services, because they're going to deal with people they feel don't have nowhere to go first.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So, but I will, post some things. I just want to make sure that what we're posting is really some organizations that, and we'll post also Concrete Roads information. But I want to make sure that we're posting organizations that really is really, really helping. And, and so I want to just do my due diligence before I just spit them out and then come to find out that maybe that wasn't a great organization. So if you don't mind, I could have that up on our website, hopefully before tonight is over.
Awesome, awesome. You know, one thing I will say as we close out is that, those of us who have been affected by Hurricane Harvey, and I say us because most of us have family and friends and loved ones there. You know, Denise Koshki hit on a very the topic is it can be, how should I say, I want to be politically correct when I say this, but be in dire need, and some people may be in need, and some people may be in desperate need, and only you who are in need can really basically determine your need. But a lot of times when there's situations where there has been disasters or traumatic circumstances, sometimes we abuse the resources that are made available, and so the people who are in need don't necessarily get those resources based upon people just saying, you know what, those resources are available. I want it. I feel like I can have it. I feel like I should have it. So I'm going to go get it. Let's make sure that we are being, I don't want to say courteous, but we're being sensitive to the needs of others. Let's make sure that we're being sensitive to the needs of others, because we never know when it's our loved one or maybe even us that are standing in the place of being in dire need, and someone else is not necessarily, they don't need the same type of support, or but we can't get it because someone else is there gathering those resources just because they want it. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, be integral, you know, and we know that's not everybody is there, but amen. Well, we want to just thank our listening audience for tuning in on tonight for this episode of Woman to Woman. We thank you for your support, and we hope that you continue to join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and also on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and we'll see you next week.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and